The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome in to PNC Studios here at Hallis Hall. What is our final voyage of the 2016 season on the Bears Coaches Show? John Fox, good evening. Hope you had a very Merry Christmas.
Was pretty merry.
Yeah.
Not totally merry.
Right, I got you. The loss still stings, obviously, on Christmas Eve. Those are hard to forget, obviously, no matter when they come during the season. But as difficult as it is for players and coaches and fans and yourself, it's something you're definitely not used to in your career.
No, it's something you hope you never get used to, and you know, I think there'll be better days to follow, and you know, you keep that in mind as we go into our last one in Minnesota.
And people are hanging on those comments, and they're hopeful, obviously. So you know, those words are going to resonate through the entire offseason for you, aren't they, with fans and media and whatnot?
Well, no doubt. I think if you look at, you know, where this roster was 2 years ago and compared to now, you know, we've gone from one of the older rosters in the NFL to one of the younger ones. And, you know, we've got a bunch of guys on the sideline with injury. But, you know, there's some guys out there, you know, the Cam Merediths, the Jordan Howards, you know, even Matt Barkley. I know he didn't have his best outing this past week, but you know, I think, you know, there's a future with some of these guys that hopefully will give us depth and, you know, ability moving forward.
And you see things obviously totally differently than anybody else from the inside out, whether it be in your meetings with your coaches, the dealings with Ryan Pace, your one-on-ones with the players. You look at things from a totally different perspective, even for what you will all tell us all. So you feel that hope is something that keeps that engine firing for you as well for 2017.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, when you look at some of the guys we've acquired over the last couple of years, whether it's been draft picks or, you know, UFAs, free agents, NFL free agents, you know, I think we're finally in striking distance is when you look at our current roster, if we were healthy moving forward, you know, not that we don't have any holes, but enough holes that we can fill in one more offseason.
That being said, what are some things, and there's still a whole game to go, obviously, and a whole bunch of meetings to go through, what are some things that they must happen in the offseason, in your opinion? Not specific positions or anything like that, but for your peace of mind, what must happen?
Well, I think we've got to get better. You know, I think we've got to get better in a lot of areas. I won't go into great detail, but like I said, you know, you plug in 8 to 10 more players that, you know, are proven commodities, whether they're young guys in the draft or even, you know, professional free agents. You know, I think we're that close. I couldn't say that a year ago. You know, one of the media people asked me, well, last year you thought, well, we weren't going to get a lot better, you know, in this past year. You know, we could have won, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 more games, you know, that we had close games that our record would look better. But, you know, I finally think we can finally make a push.
Here's a crazy stat. Our statistician, Doug Coletti, went through the research before the game yesterday. I'm sure it doesn't change, but just to put things in perspective, and again, you're not talking so much about injuries and so forth. That's irrelevant, but it's a fact. Believe it or not, and you may know this fact already, but the defensive unit in 2016 and some 900 opponent plays, the one group that played the most number of plays was Hicks, Goldman, Freeman, Trevathan, Floyd, Young, Glenn, Porter, Callahan, and Corte and Amos were your safeties. You care to guess how many snaps those guys played together? And they would be number one, that unit, out of 900, almost 900 plays.
Not a lot.
14.
Yeah.
14 snaps.
No, I get that. You know, we've had more replacement captains each week this season than I can ever remember, as far as not even our voted captains were all active, but I think about 2 games.
That's a startling number, I tell you that. All right, let's talk about some things that you already touched on here, obviously. One was the play of Jordan Howard once again. And I'm not even going to talk about running the ball. I'm going to talk about him chasing down Will Blackman on the interception. The kid thought he had a touchdown. I don't know if you read the quote. It was something along the lines of he didn't see it coming, put it that way. And it was Jordan Howard who hustled his way to make that play, and his blitz pickups were great again on Saturday.
Yeah, he was really solid, and obviously a winning performance by him. Unfortunately, it wasn't for all of us. But, you know, I think, you know, I've commented on him so many times. He's a tremendous player. He runs with great strength and great vision, and he's a tremendous young man, you know, the way he's handled some of the success. And, you know, he's got a chance to break the rookie rushing record next week
61.
Against Minnesota.
Yeah, 61 yards away. The quote was he felt like he was hit with a tranquilizer gun. That's a pretty good quote by Will Blackman on a play that didn't go in the Bears' favor. And the other one is Cam Meredith, as you mentioned, and Cam spoke today. I've just been really impressed with his professionalism over the course of the season. Early last season, you know, who knew what to expect? Even portion of this season, who knew what to expect? And here he's banging on the door for 900 yards receiving, and he leads the team in receptions, and he made some big plays yesterday.
Yeah, Saturday. He's continued to improve. Again, he's kept a great attitude. You know, he's the same guy every day. He comes to work, you know, puts the time in, and he executes well, and that's what you have to do in this league to win.
And we're going to talk to Curtis Johnson, his receivers coach, coming up in the second half of the program tonight. You mentioned Leonard Floyd and concussion protocol, second time here since the Giants game. That one scared him. He admitted that. This one, maybe more of a lesson. I think you referred to it in the news conference today. You got to keep your head up.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hit what you can't see, and he's a young player that's learning, very talented. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him, and, you know, there's some lessons to learn along the way.
Let's talk about Matt Barkley. There were some very good throws, but some of those throws were made, and again, there's many different reasons, whether it's route running, timing, all that. I mean, even with the timing of Alshon, maybe not quite there yet with Matt.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it wasn't his cleanest performance, and there's a few throws that he'd like to have back. But, you know, there's a lot goes into it, whether it's protection, whether it's the depth of the route, you know, maybe just being rushed a little bit as far as the pass pro. I think things he looked at today that he can learn from, and I think he'll get better for him.
He took it pretty hard. He took it pretty hard after the game.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we go into all these things. Everybody puts a lot of time and effort in, and, you know, the whole team and the coaches, everybody involved. And, you know, you're not going to beat many people -5 in the turnover ratio.
He mentioned also that, and Cam did, there's been a lot of extra time put in by these guys on their own. Has that impressed you?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've had a lot of guys circulating through there. Even, you know, Daniel Brown, who's new to us, you know, in the last couple of weeks, you know, he goes down with a shoulder, and, you know, Broniker has to go in. And, you know, sometimes when guys don't have all the game reps, they're not quite as clean as they should be to win in this league. And some of those things all played into those -5.
Is it fair to say, despite practice, that maybe if – in this case, the injuries and the suspension of Alshon boosted the rep count for Cam Meredith, then maybe you wouldn't have found what you found.
Yeah, I mean, I go all the way back to Jeremy Langford getting hurt in the beginning of the season, and, you know, open the door for Jordan Howard. You don't find out about guys like that sometimes until they get that opportunity, and that's where this can help you moving forward once you get healthy again.
12 carries first 3 weeks for Jordan Howard. Who knows how far it would have risen? And maybe he wouldn't have been that ready to do that right then, right out of the
game. You never know. It's hard to predict all that. But, you know, again, he's gotten his opportunity, and he's made the most of it.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Takes the snap. Barkley goes to throw, sets, and steps up. Going into the end zone. It's Barrett, a touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! That ball was in the air. Perfectly thrown on the break, and Meredith to the far right corner of the end zone makes the grab. You can't make it any better than that. Touchdown, Bears.
And it made it 24-14 before halftime. Cam Meredith is our Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. But actually, after the game, we gave it to both he and Jordan Howard, Tom and I. So both players share that honor. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studios at Hallis Hall. And that corner route, you know, again, he mentioned it today, his route running has improved drastically. Would you say, after eyeballing him in practice, and we'll talk to Coach Curtis Johnson later in the program, is that his biggest elevation as a receiver, in your opinion, so far, putting in the work to be a better route runner?
Yeah, he's definitely improved every week, and it was a scissors route. It was well run. He had to avoid the corner a little bit, and really that was a great throw by Matt as well. So they've kind of built some chemistry, and, you know, I think Cam's hands have gotten better, his route running's gotten better, just his attention to detail's gotten better.
So when you see a quarterback like Matt make those kind of throws, and we've seen him in the past 5 weeks, and then some of those other throws, how do you evaluate that as a coach?
Well,
you take some good with the bad, but you can only take so much of the bad, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, I think, you know, and it kind of snowballed Saturday. But, you know, he had a couple, you know, week before against Green Bay that were, you know, again, critical in a close game. This one wasn't as close, but, you know, those are experiences and reps that, you just can't substitute for, and I think he'll get better for it.
Much to your point today, because you made a big emphasis on giveaways, more than the lack of takeaways. The lack of takeaways will come with more experienced defense, more talent, et cetera, and more opportunity to do that. But again, before the game yesterday, you guys had outgained your opponents by a few hundred yards, more first downs, but the minus 16 with only 10 takeaways, outscored then by a high number of points in that regard, and outscored in the red zone by about 45 points. Though that's as almost as simple as the season boils down to.
Well, if you look at the turnover margin and you look at it every year, not just this year, any year, you know, minus 16, you know, that's a big reason why we're sitting here at 3-12. I think, you know, we've gotten more yards this year than last year. We've gotten more explosive plays. There's a lot of things that we're doing well, but we're not doing it consistently enough. And then both the lack of takeaways, which is still a big factor. I wasn't trying to disregard that, but you know, the 17 interceptions are, you know, probably top five in the league, which we need to clean up, and you know, a lot over the last couple of weeks.
Did you expect in terms of the running game to have an 1178 yard back, but the second back on that list 174 yards, or were you hoping for a more committee approach if everything had gone well offensively for you in terms of injuries and performance and whatnot? Or and just overall game, because you didn't have the ball a lot of games. You lost time of possession by a big margin in some of the games. You've crawled back in to make it more fair that way in terms of play calls. But did you want more of a committee approach because of the types of backs you have?
Yeah, you know, I think you just go with the hot hand, Jeff. I think you always have to be prepared, and we've had to lean on a number of backs this season. You know, if you look back at Jeremy Langford starting the season as the starter, you know, you roll in Kadeem Carey, and then, you know, Jordan Howard, you know, he gets that opportunity, and, you know, he's taking advantage of it. So you go with the hot hand, and right now that's Jordan Howard, and, you know, we're pleased about it. It's still a lot of different people doing it, you know, the O-line, the tight end position, the fullback positions. You know, it's a team effort, and they've been a big part of it.
So much talked about in terms of the health. Is that a starting point for you to discuss this offseason with your management and Ryan Pace?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of it a lot of times is bad luck, but you just can't go with that. You know, you have to look at approaches. I think, you know, since the new CBA, you know, I think you need to adjust things because the offseason's 9 weeks. You know, they're going to get 105 days off after the Minnesota game. You know, I don't think you can go sit on a couch for 105 days. You know, when we come back, we're going to have a, you know, conditioning test before we even start the offseason. Same thing will happen after that 9 week off season when we have to give them a 6 week break before we report to camp. You know, again, putting the pressure on to stay in shape and report to camp with a conditioning test.
So that'll be new things?
Those are all, you know, are all new things to make sure players understand that you can't get in shape to be a world class athlete in 9 weeks.
You can't do anything about it right now, but you as coaches, what can you do when you get to your meetings and so forth to eliminate that 105 days?
You know, there's really it's a collective bargain agreement.
Can you exert some pressure?
It's not going to go away for 5 years. So I think it's just, you know, when you're dealing with professionals, and these guys are professionals, and they understand that being healthy for them, you know, forget about doing it for a coach or whatever. I mean, to be a professional, they're going to have to invest, you know, some time into, you know, being in the best possible shape they can be in. Then that does, you know, even ankles and knees. I mean, ankle running and some of the conditionings you have to do to condition your body to play football. You know, you just can't run straight ahead. You know, that's not enough. Just be cardiovascularly in shape. You know, there's a lot of different things you have to do to train.
I know you're not a doctor. We got to get to traffic, but I always say you can't account for broken bones until somebody challenged me the other day, and they said, well, why can't you? How about broken bones? What can you do about that, honestly?
Well,
those happen,
you know,
right?
In all reality, I mean, it's you're playing football, being able to see things and be aware of what's going on around you, you know, can prevent some of those vicious hits.
Good answer.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
I mean, I treat every game like it's the same. Prepare for it, go out and practice like it. That's just how I approach every game every week.
That's Jarrell Freeman earlier today at Hallis Hall, one of the two players at the podium after Coach Fox had his weekly news conference. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show live from PNC Studios here at Hallis Hall as we bring you the Bears Coaches Show for the final time in this year till 7:30 tonight. Curtis Johnson will join us later in the program. Listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Uber this Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM or streaming live, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. You heard Jarrell last night after the game. He was on our post-game interview with Zach in the locker room, and, you know, he had gathered players. You know, he comes off that suspension. That just shows how much, you know, weight he carries and how much he cares, how much he loves playing for you and Coach Fangio. It made it clear, and he just wanted every player to know, hey, keep working. And then not just Sunday. Keep working throughout the week. Make sure you're hitting that playbook hard. If you have to do extra, do it all the way to the end. Do you appreciate that kind of respect to the game that he's showing and he wants others to follow with?
Well, he's one of the few veterans we have in there, and he's done a tremendous job. And, you know, he was back probably a little bit rusty, but, you know, he'll get more accustomed to it. And he's right. I mean, there's you know, we're not the only team that's out of the playoffs. There's 20 of them. There's only 12 people in. So, there's a lot of pride and respect. It's a small fraternity of people in this league. You know, that video goes around to the whole league, and it's a division opponent at their place.
That being said, five of the 12 playoff teams are going to be potentially playoff teams. Not everybody locked in just yet. We're under 500 last year. You do know that, right?
Yeah, and I think, that's this league. People go from the penthouse to the outhouse and the outhouse to the penthouse, and it can happen fast. And, you got to find the right people, the right type of guys, and obviously enough talent.
You know, there must be a part of you. Maybe I'm nuts. I don't know, because you've been around a long time. But there must be a part of you that this is ending on Sunday at Minnesota, but it's really just a beginning because the fire's burning. You want to get back out there and win. Do you wish it could get started already procuring the plan for 2017?
Well,
or do you need a little break too?
Well, no, everybody needs a couple weeks, but I think going through this, whether you're a player or a coach, a fan, or really anybody in the organization, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And I think, our guys are understanding how hard it is to win in this league, how hard you have to fight to win in this league, and how consistent you have to perform. And we're learning it the tough way, but I think we're getting closer. And like I mentioned before, I think we're in striking distance with this offseason.
Do you know what you want?
Exactly.
And you know how to get it?
Yes.
You just need it to all come together.
Yeah, I think, a lot of times to fix things, you got to take a couple of steps back. And we definitely had to do that. And I think finally, after two drafts, two off seasons, I think, like I said before, I think we're in striking distance.
All right, a win, you're 3-3 in the division. An accomplishment, however it may fit in the bigger scheme, it's an accomplishment in a tough division, frankly, and you'd avoid a losing road season. So are those the dangling carrots for you this week or
like
not?
Like I said before, I mean, there's plenty to play for. When you do this as a profession, and everybody in that room's a professional, we expect their best, and they'll give us their best.
Mike Zimmer's gone through some sort of season. I'll tell you, things were looking great. He had his medical issues. You've had them in your past. You had Todd Bowles. You had Gary Cooper. I mean, these are things that happen to people, but it seems like a lot lately in the last 5 years or so with coaches. Is some of it the stress of the modern-day game?
You know, I don't think so. I think just stuff happens. You know, I'm not really sure what happened to Coach Bowles, but Bruce Spaeth, their PR guy, I touched base to make sure, everything was okay. And, I mean, shoot, it could be as bad as a bad case of the flu. And when you go down, you go down. So, you just pray and hope that it's nothing serious. And I think guys are understanding they need to take care of themselves, whether they're coaches or players.
Is it make you take notice, though, a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, again, you respect everybody that does this for a living, and they're in the arena every week, and you kind of understand what goes into it and all the hard work and the preparation that goes into it. You just, at the end of the day, you just, you know, hope and pray guys stay healthy.
All right, lastly, what are we looking at on Sunday? I mean, this Viking team obviously has had some struggles, but Sam Bradford's had a really good year, and that defense is always going to be tough.
Yeah, they're still, you know, top five in defense in the league. I think, you know, offensively, they've had their share of injuries, especially up front, you know, losing, you know, their quarterback, Teddy Early, and, you know, as well as Adrian. But, you know, they've had guys step in. They've got playmakers they're taking advantage of. And, you know, they put up some points in Green Bay, and they're very capable, as we've already seen.
All right. Well, your last official coach's show for 2016. I know you're going to miss me.
Well, I will. And actually, all right, for such a grueling season for all of us, right, including the fans, everybody out there, I couldn't have picked a better daggone host. Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate it. Thank you for all your time.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring wide receivers coach Kirk Johnson. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Snap, Barkley going to step up in the pocket now. Throwing, open man Meredith at the 10. Breaks a tackle 5. Another tackle down near the 1. Great second effort. These two have a connection. It's undeniable. No doubt about it.
Barkley and Meredith, they highlight there to the 1-yard line, and they punched it in. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show live from PNC Studios at Habas Hall with assistant coach, receivers coach Curtis Johnson. Good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Your maiden voyage here on the show. They saved the best for last, right?
I guess.
Our final show of the season. Well, we touched on it at some length here with Coach Fox about Cam Meredith's development, and the numbers are showing it. But more importantly, the tape shows it, and the performances show it. Where you've seen the biggest improvement, he says it's his route running. But there's so much to being a wide receiver. Why don't you tell us?
Absolutely. You know what? The one thing about Cam is his work ethic is unmatched. You know, he always here. He's always catching the jugs. He's in. You always see him around with a football. And then just the understanding of a game because he was a quarterback. And I think he's a smart kid. You know, as you see, we got him playing at several different positions on the offense. And, you know, he's done a magnificent job mastering each position. I think he does a great job sinking his hips, getting in and out of breaks. And, you know, he's beginning to catch the ball better and better.
Undrafted rookie free agents have a long road to hoe. They don't have the pedigree. So sometimes they get slotted to the side, and because of injuries, they'll elevate and they get a chance, and maybe they don't get a lot of reps. He has had a ton of reps because of circumstances. He feels that has made a huge difference, emphasizing the point once again, until you actually have that opportunity, maybe you never develop like you think you can, right? So is that happening here?
Yeah, you know what? He's a young man who has an opportunity to play because, you know, injuries or whatever. He's just, you know, beat some guys out. You know, the one thing I can say about Cam, he's used every rep he can just to make himself a better and better player. You know, he stays after with each of those quarterbacks, and whoever was in the lineup, it didn't matter to him. He just continued. He was always asking more and more questions. And, you know, I think reps is the one thing that you can scrutinize yourself on tape. And I think he's done a magnificent job.
If you took just every one of his practice reps, his snaps, from day one of the offseason program to where we are now and cut them up, what would we see if you had to put together a storyline? And what would we see that you can tell and he could see is totally different than the offseason program?
You know what? I would say this. The number one thing is his ability to run off the ball. Sometimes it's hard when guys don't get off the ball hard. You know, you say, well, that's something easy. But I don't think that that's very easy because when you start playing football, everything is you're doing things real slow. This kid is beginning to run off the ball. And then when he began to sink his hips and get in and out of breaks, and then the catching began to come because we catch a ton of balls in practice. You would see improvement in all three phases of his game.
Not a natural thing to do for a former quarterback. He's a natural athlete, it appears, who has size and ability to explode. But you have to know how the muscle memory has to come.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I would say his biggest negative. He hadn't played the position long enough. And so, you know, there's some mistakes that he'll have. But I'm telling you, this young man has done a magnificent job just coming out every day, working hard, working on the little things. And it's hard during the season to work on little things. And I think that's why he's performing so well.
Because it's really only 4 years. Is there a realistic ceiling for this guy?
You know, right now, I really don't know, you know, because you just got to get him into another offseason. I wasn't here for a bunch of the offseason. You know, I want to see him in the offseason, get in the weights, get in a good running program. you know, as we do here, and then get him doing receiver drills for a whole year. And if, you know, I think he'll really, he's just touching the surface right now.
I think he takes hard coaching, too.
Well, yeah, you know what? That's the only way I know. I don't think hard coaching is a word. It's just coaching.
Sounds good.
The Bears Coaches Show with wide receivers coach Kirk Johnson and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
I'm a route runner for sure. You know, when I first started playing receiver, that was one of the main things I was, you know, really constantly focused on. And it's different once you make it to the league, and you know, guys are faster and stuff like that. So, you know, getting in and out of my breaks and stuff like that, being physical at the point of attack, those are all things I'm still working on. But I'm, you know, definitely getting better at it.
That is Cameron Meredith. Earlier today, does it sound like he's speaking your Bible verse?
You know what? I think he hears it all the time from me. And I think he's improving so much. I hadn't said it in the last couple of weeks because he's been doing such a magnificent job of his improvement of what he's doing. And like you say, he and Barkley are really, really clicking together, and they're having a wonderful year.
What's it done also for Deontay Thompson?
You know what? That's one thing. He's a fast guy who's really had a great he's having a great opportunity. You know, I always felt Deontay was a good player, but golly, he's very impressive. He's catching balls in traffic now, outside, and he's catching some deep balls. You know, a couple of weeks ago, he had over 100 yards worth of reception yardage. So he's doing a wonderful job, too.
You know, it must be rewarding because you were a college coach, obviously, and also with the New Orleans Saints, but you recruited some of these guys. You recruited Deontay to see them develop over time and then have a chance to actually get your hands on them.
Yeah, you know what is funny? You know, I was at the University of Miami, and I was recruiting Deontay from a little kid, probably a 9th, 10th grader. He would come to our camps, and, you know, he's one of the fastest kids around. And, you know, I really wanted an opportunity to coach him because, you know, I got to know him back then. And then all of a sudden I left and moved on, and he ended up going to the Gators. And now, you know, we've had this happy reunion because I've known him for a number of years.
Josh Bellamy, we're going to kind of tick through some of these guys right now. Again, a guy who's got the best attitude walking and keeps fighting, doesn't seem to let missteps bother him in a game and so forth. He comes right back and wants the ball.
Yeah, you know what? One thing about Josh, you know, and I love coaching the guys like him because he has amnesia. He forgets about it real quick. You know, he forgets the good plays and forgets the bad plays. He just wants another play. And so, you know, guys like that, eager to impress, eager to improve. He's another guy who's always around, and, you know, he works on his weakness so much. You know, I just want him, I just want him to do well.
You have to feel a sense of just great sadness for Marquise Wilson because he's a nice kid. During the whole season while he was getting ready to come back, he was in that locker room every Wednesday and Thursday when the media comes in. We get an hour in there, and he was, you know, tight with Zach Miller and, you know, trying to have fun and make a bad situation somewhat bearable and hoping to get his chance. And then it happened again, another foot fracture. Where is he at mentally, and how hard that was it for you as well?
You know what? I couldn't wait to see him because I saw him a little bit in the spring and then again, you know, early on in training camp. The one thing I love about him is his attitude, a great attitude. He was my assistant coach. You know, he's the one guy who doesn't mind, you know, telling all the other players what to do when he's injured. And, I mean, he was – what a great coach. I mean, he was right next to me all the time. And, you know, he was, yeah, coach, you're right. And sometimes he would tell me I'm wrong. But, I mean, I love his attitude. I love how he is. Hardworking young man. It's just unfortunate that these things happen. And, you know, hopefully I think that we'll get it right. He'll get it straight this time, and he'll be back and be back on the field soon.
Ditto Kevin White. This now becomes a whole different set of circumstances, obviously, because 2 years, not a lot of games, it could affect the very best of talented players. Your job as a psychologist in this situation must be as important as the actual physical teaching and fundamentals.
Absolutely. I think you got to figure the player out a little bit and, you know, what the player, how the player can help you and how you can help him, you know, achieve his goal. And, you know, the one thing that's important about this whole thing is you want to do your best to help them be their best. You know, I think Kevin is one of those kids. You know, everybody say Kevin's my son because he was always around me. He's always calling me. We talk a lot. And, you know, I think Kevin's in a good place now. I think Kevin, you know, he wants this thing to be over with. He can't wait to join his teammates and get back in there and play some football for the Chicago Bears.
It was almost documented how difficult it was a year ago. I remember doing several interviews, including at the very end of the season in the weight room, where he just let it loose, how hard it was on him, how much he felt he disappointed Ryan Pace, who drafted him and trusted him at that high. this year with a year of experience under his belt to come back and actually experience some success on the field. We don't hear a lot about that right now. You say he's in a good place. Was he in a good place before that, or was it really devastating?
You know, and I think prior to the injury, I think where he began to get confidence because he started playing well. And I think that really helped him because the first thing you do when you get to the NFL, you don't know if you really belong. It doesn't matter where you drafted at or whatever. And then he began to get success against good teams. And all of a sudden, man, this guy's playing well against the Cowboys. He's playing well against Detroit. And then, unfortunately, he's injured again. You know, his dad did a great job with him just getting his mind and say, hey, these things happen. And, here we go. And we've told him about there's several players, DT from Denver. He was out for 2 years. And
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas, right. And so it has happened before. I think Kevin is big. He's strong. He's mentally tough. And, he'll be back and he'll do a great job.
Yeah, it'll be a big part of the 2017 season to get him back and healthy and ready to roll. I know there'll be a lot of questions. He's going to have to face the same questions. And that I know that can get old for a player.
Yeah, you know what the difference is, though? He's had some success. He did play, and when before his injury, he was the leading receiver on the football team, and he's playing, he's making big plays in games against good talent. So I'm eager to be able to work with these guys again this year.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope your Christmas holiday was outstanding. Happy Hanukkah to all of you out there as well. And the new year approaching as the Bears wrap up the regular season on New Year's Day against the Minnesota Vikings here in our final moments with Curtis Johnson, the Bears wide receivers coach, a veteran coach of some note, one of the premier receiving coaches in football. You've got your guys dialed in. You're constantly chirping. Heard you in training camp. Loved it. You're loud. You're proud. And you have them with a football in their hand almost the entire game when they're on the sidelines. You want them to love that thing.
Absolutely.
Where'd you come up with all this?
You have years of experience. Back in my youthful days when I had hair, I would bring the balls to class, bring them everywhere they can. As much as you can feel the ball, much as you can get around the football and you can hold on to it, it causes you to be conscious of protecting it. And that's the main thing we want to get across, ball protection.
That being said, what did you do during that rash of drops?
You know what I think is it happens sometimes. This wasn't the first time it happened to me. It happened, and I think the one thing you got to do, they really want to catch the ball. They want to do what's right. I think you got to go back to the root of it, and you start all over, and you pick the angles that they were dropping it, and then you throw the ball to them however you can. But it's getting that confidence back up again, and I think we begin to do that. We're starting to get confident again.
Yeah, because that's the worst thing could happen. It's no different than if a corner makes a mistake and you can't make it twice, right? You can't let it infiltrate your brain.
And sometimes it does. So, the one thing you got to do is, like I always tell guys, you got to have amnesia about it and forget about it and just move on to the next play.
All right, let's tick off some of the other receivers. Alshon Jeffrey, obviously a unique talent in this league, made another big catch with that wingspan and his ability to shield and play power forward. Again, with a third different quarterback, all these guys have faced, unique challenges. You got to get learn everything about these quarterbacks, the velocity, where they put it, where they like it, and vice versa. For Alshon, maybe a little frustrating at this point.
Yeah, you know what? He hadn't shown much of that. But I think the one thing about him, he's the best high point guy I've ever seen. He can go up and get the ball with the best of them. And I think it hurts him a little bit because he's just different quarterbacks. His game is timing, and he wants to play above the rim, I would say. And, it kind of hurts him a little bit. But he's been magnificent. He's catching it. He's catching it in traffic. He's a hard guy to bring down. He got great hands. So, he's doing well for us.
Turf toes, no fun. Eddie Royal dealt with it.
No, it's tough for him. Eddie, big part of our offense. And, our return game, special teams on fourth down. He was our, punt returner. And, it's just unfortunate to see Eddie, being a good player, explosive player. You watched him early in the year. He's making plays for us out there, returned the punt for a touchdown. Caught a couple touchdowns, and now, we're without him.
All right, Daniel Braverman, he's had to have been in your ear all season because he's a competitive guy, and he got on the field. I mean, you get a taste. Now he probably wants a lot more.
Absolutely. This one guy that's always around. He's my little gnat in my ear all the time. But you love him because he has great short area quickness. He can catch the ball well. He's just got to learn the game of football. The NFL game, he's a little small in there, but he's a big heart. And he catches it in traffic. So you just love to have this guy on the field. And in the future, he'll be definitely out there.
All right, we're going to let you fly. Appreciate your time. Happy New Year to you. Good luck on Sunday.
Same to you. Thank you.
That's Bears receivers coach Curtis Johnson. Earlier in the program, we reflected on what has been a challenging season with head coach John Fox.
There'll be better days to follow, and you keep that in mind as we go into our last one in Minnesota.
And people are hanging on those comments, and they're hopeful, obviously. So, those words are going to resonate through the entire offseason for you, aren't they, with fans and media and whatnot?
Well, no doubt. I think if you look at, where this roster was 2 years ago and compared to now, we've gone from one of the older rosters in the NFL to one of the younger ones. And, we've got a bunch of guys on the sideline with injury. But, there's some guys out there, the Cam Merediths, the Jordan Howards, even Matt Barkley. I know he didn't have his best outing this past week, but, I think, there's a future with some of these guys that hopefully will give us depth and, ability moving forward.
And you see things obviously totally differently than anybody else from the inside out, whether it be in your meetings with your coaches, the dealings with Ryan Pace, your one-on-ones with the players. You look at things from a totally different perspective, even for what you will all tell us all. So you feel that hope is something that keeps that engine firing for you as well for 2017?
Yeah, no doubt. I think, when you look at some of the guys we've acquired over the last couple of years, whether it's been draft picks or, UFAs, free agents, NFL free agents, I think we're finally in striking distance is when you look at our current roster, if we were healthy moving forward, not that we don't have any holes, but enough holes that we can fill in one more offseason.
That being said, what are some things, and there's still a whole game to go, obviously, and a whole bunch of meetings to go through. What are some things that they must happen in the offseason, in your opinion? Not specific positions or anything like that, but for your peace of mind, what must happen?
Well, I think we've got to get better. I think we've got to get better in a lot of areas. I won't go into great detail, but like I said, you plug in 8 to 10 more players that, are proven commodities, whether they're young guys in the draft or even, professional free agents. I think we're that close. I couldn't say that a year ago. One of the media people asked me, well, last year you thought, well, we weren't going to get a lot better, in this past year. We could have won, 3 or 4 or 5 more games, that we had close games, that our record would look better. But, I finally think we can finally make a push.
Here's a crazy stat. Our statistician, Doug Coletti, went through the research before the game yesterday. I'm sure it doesn't change, but just to put things in perspective, and again, you're not talking so much about injuries and so forth. That's irrelevant, but it's a fact. Believe it or not, and you may know this fact already, but the defensive unit in 2016 and some 900 opponent plays, the one group that played the most number of plays was Hicks, Goldman, Freeman, Trevathan, Floyd, Young, Glenn, Porter, Callahan, and Corte and Amos were your safeties. You care to guess how many snaps those guys played together? And they would be number one, that unit, out of 900, almost 900 plays.
Not a lot.
14.
Yeah.
14 snaps.
No, I get that. We've had more replacement captains each week this season than I can ever remember, as far as not even our voted captains were all active, but I think about 2 games.
That's a startling number, I tell you that. All right, let's talk about some things that you already touched on here, obviously. One was the play of Jordan Howard once again. And I'm not even going to talk about running the ball. I'm going to talk about him chasing down Will Blackman on the interception. The kid thought he had a touchdown. I don't know if you read the quote. It was something along the lines of he didn't see it coming, put it that way. And it was Jordan Howard who hustled his way to make that play, and his blitz pickups were great again on Saturday.
Yeah, he was really solid, and obviously a winning performance by him. Unfortunately, it wasn't for all of us. I think, I've commented on him so many times. He's a tremendous player. He runs with great strength and great vision, and he's a tremendous young man.
Hey, the best way to get ready for Sunday's Bears-Vikings game is to tune into Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 in Chicago, and Sunday night, watch Bears Game Night Live at 10:35 p.m. I'll be there along with Tom Thayer and host Lou Kanellis, and you can help deserving families donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive at participating Jewel Osco locations now through January 1st. Donations benefit the Salvation Army. That's going to wrap up this year's Bears Coaches Show from PNC Studio. Thanks to John Fox, Curtis Johnson, my producer, Greg Miller, studio producer, Andy Gersher, Lisa Fielding, and Dave Marcet. I'm Jeff Joniak. Bears end the season at Minnesota, pregame at 9, kickoff at noon. Thanks for listening, everybody. Happy New Year from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Good night, everybody.